have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And in the news this week, you know, we were so excited about having an openly bisexual senator from Arizona. Well, this week,
speak for yourself.
This week, Kyrsten Sinema solidified her identity as a leading obstructor of voting rights, along with her fellow Democrat, Joe Manchin, and all 50 Republicans.
Well, of course. But we hope things will be better locally. A gay marriage rights pioneer, whose name will be familiar to you, is making a bid for the Ohio State Legislature.
And then in Florida, a leading gay marriage activist was found dead, murdered this week. Actually, not this week. It happened on, I think, January 8th. They found him.
And another sad piece of news, fashion editor Andre Leon Talley has died at age 73.
We've told you about this series of murders in Sydney, Australia, throwing gay men off a cliff off a cruising area back in the 80s. Well, a guilty plea has been entered in one of those murders.
California is now requiring insurers to cover at-home tests for sexually transmitted infections.
On Law and Order, SVU, an 8-year-old character has come out as bisexual to his police captain mother.
We really are everywhere. And homophobic comic D.L. Hughley is getting a new TV show as a dad of a lesbian daughter, which he is.
I don't know.
We call that surrealism in everyday life.
Starting with some national news, the Biden administration is now letting trans and non-binary veterans have their gender identity listed on their official medical records at VA hospitals.
But can they fly on Delta Airlines? Still up in the air, so to speak.
And I'd also like to draw attention to what the Supreme Court is doing about quote-unquote religious freedom this week. They seem poised to force the city of Boston to hoist sectarian religious flags on the city's flagpole.
Now, wait a minute. This is they have allowed scores of different flags. This is for a one-time event. This is it's not. We're going to keep this religious flag up forever. This is
No. But I mean, the lower courts, and they were federal courts, said you can't force the city to endorse something that they don't endorse. And what's this going to lead to? You know, flags of the Proud Boys, swastikas, you know.
Well, that is the question, the free speech versus religious freedom, whatever.
Well,
let's
get to the big story.
Could be worse.
Of course, what's worse is what's happening in the Senate with Kyrsten Sinema. She has now given her full-throated support to obstruction in the Senate by being willing to even modify the filibuster. You know, folks, all they're trying to do with the filibuster is say, all right, you can still have the filibuster, but you're going to have to stand up there and talk if you want to stop voting rights. And she won't even go for that. So,
well, it's so disingenuous. First, because she has allowed it in other cases. But this whole argument she makes about, you know, if we do it, they'll do it. Well, Kyrsten, they've done it and they're going to do it again. And right. What you do as a Democrat is not going to increase or decrease their appetite for it. They're going to do exactly what they want to do if they take over the Senate again. And to think that you're going to attain some moral high ground by not doing this, and that will somehow prevent the Republicans from doing it to the Democrats, is insane.
Well, she's thinking, apparently, according to her friends, of running for president in 2024. Now, what this has raised for a lot of groups is stop funding this woman. Emily's List has already said we're not funding her anymore. But look, put up the picture of her, too, about disingenuous. You know, Mike Signorelli noted she famously didn't swear on a Bible because she's the first senator who said she has no religious affiliation. It was opposed from back when she was in the Green Party. But now she is wearing a cross while posing as a Republican.
It's really unbelievable. So Emily's List has warned her that they will not support her if she keeps doing this. NARAL, I think, has also dropped her.
And yes, hold on. We've got this picture up. I mean, yeah. the anti-abortion groups are running ads saying thank Kyrsten Sinema for protecting the filibuster. Anti-abortion groups.
Yeah, and so Mike Signorelli and others have said, HRC, Victory Fund, what about you? Are you going to keep endorsing and supporting this woman who is standing in the way of the
Everything. Standing in the way of everything, including LGBTQ rights.
And I would put the same question to LPAC. And I remember some years ago when they first endorsed her, and I was at some you know, fundraising party for LPAC, the Lesbian Political Action Committee, and they were announcing their list of endorsed candidates, and they included her. And I had a visceral reaction to that and said, whoa, what do you mean you're endorsing her? She's very conservative, and everybody just landed on me.
She also really won't explain herself beyond platitudes. So she wants the activists who followed her into the restroom to try to get a word in edgewise with her to be prosecuted for this.
A public restroom.
A public restroom, you know.
They weren't going into the stall.
No.
They were just trying to talk to her.
One of whom could be deported because, you know, has some immigration issues. Prosecutors ignored her suggested felony charges in favor of misdemeanors, but they returned the case back to the officers for more information.
Well, it's a sad sight, I'll say that. And her excuses ring extremely hollow. And I certainly hope that I'm just sorry that she's not up for election again until 24. Right. And the idea that she's running for president is ridiculous. And I'm happy to say that, on the other hand, someone who is standing out as a really upright progressive is the out lesbian attorney general of Michigan, Dana Nessel.
Oh, yes.
She's been all over the airwaves on these voting issues and others. And she's just been terrific. And it has been a real pleasure to have her out there.
Well, she referred the 16 Michigan Republicans who forged a certificate claiming Trump won in 2020 to federal prosecutors for criminal felony charges that carry penalties of decades in prison. And of course, now we're learning this week, who asked them to do this? Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump, all these people. They've got to connect the dots here.
Well, they're trying. You know, the House committee is subpoenaing Giuliani and all his cohorts, and that's a pleasure to see, and I hope they follow through on that.
But Dana Nessel is in a tight race with Republican Matthew DiPerno, who was one of the originators of the big lie.
Well, like many, or not many, certainly, but some Midwestern states, I'm thinking specifically of Wisconsin, too, there's just this split where you have a very large conservative faction in the state. And yet, you know, Michigan has Gretchen Whitmer as governor, Democrat, progressive, who was elected. So I would hope that Dana Nessel can retain her office, but we'll see.
I mean, Wisconsin gave us Robert La Follette, and it gave us Joe McCarthy.
Can we also just take a minute to note Martin Luther King Jr. Day this week, and what an ally he was to us and to all people. And I was thinking, as I was watching a lot of the celebrations of him, I was thinking, you know, I'm old enough to remember all his work very vividly, and his assassination in April of 1968, a year before Stonewall. And the activism that went on in the 50s and 60s and for thousands of years of history is so disregarded today. And I really want to highlight and appreciate his work. And I was watching last night a documentary, The Murder of Fred Hampton, from Chicago in 1969, and thinking, you know, these the younger people today are really not appreciative enough of the radical times that we lived through 50 years ago. But Martin Luther King, you know, inestimable in his value. And then, of course, Coretta Scott King, after his death, a huge ally to the gay community, a big supporter of marriage equality, but of all both of them across the board, anti-poverty, pro-peace, against the Vietnam War, and, of course, primarily confronting racism.
And a lot of people who quote him, including Republicans, have a hell of a nerve because they don't understand his message, and they certainly don't understand the completeness of his message. But speaking of the right wing, because the radicals these days are the fascists, the far-right One America News Network will not have its contract renewed by DirecTV, which is owned by AT&T and TPG Incorporated. They're going to continue to be carried by something called their contract ends in April. Verizon Fios will continue to carry it, and it streams on Cloud TV, KLOUD TV. But they've been under fire for spreading lies about the 2020 presidential election. Two Georgia election workers are suing the parent company over their claims of fraud. They're also suing Trump and Giuliani. And Dominion is suing them as well. The NAACP led this effort to get them dropped. I don't think too many of our viewers overlap.
No, but it does give one pause should someone come after our satellite conduit Free Speech TV with a very progressive lineup of shows, including us. So let's hope that we don't end up in the.
We believe in free speech. We don't believe in lies. And if we tell any, call us out and we'll correct them.
And we do. I'm just saying, none of us is safe forever. But there are so many outlets these days that even OAN is not going to disappear.
So among the 11 oath keepers indicted by the Department of Justice for sedition on January 6th is Ohio bartender and trans woman Jessica Watkins, 38 years old. She was indicted last year on conspiracy charges. Sedition implies she was a key player of the coup attempt. The maximum penalty for that is 20 years. And she's been in detention all year. We talked about her before because, you know, she says she's being mistreated as a trans person in prison, in jail rather, in detention. She now is critical of the Oath Keepers.
I thought she was a very proud revolutionary.
She said she believed Trump was calling her to D.C. to support him and the Constitution. By the way, Ginny Thomas, who is married to Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court, signed a letter saying these 11, 12 people, they had done nothing wrong.
Well, I don't know if you read or heard about Nina Totenberg of NPR's thing on the Supreme Court. Samuel Alito is pissed off because he thinks he should be Chief Justice and it never should have gone to John Roberts. And he's never gotten over it. And
he's a legend in his own mind.
Unbelievable. Imagine, it's bad enough if Samuel Alito was Chief Justice. The liberals would have offices in a ditch somewhere.
The court is lost. Either face up to the fact that it needs to be rebalanced and expanded, or we're going to keep getting horrible decisions from now on.
But there was a little shocker from the Supreme Court this week. They refused to review a decision that supported us. The lower court said in a North Carolina case that North Carolina could not refuse coverage of trans health care for its state workers. And the state appealed to the Supreme Court and said, oh, we want to be able to discriminate. And the Supreme Court refused to review the lower court decision.
Well, let's see what happens in all these other states that are passing anti-trans legislation. In South Dakota, Governor Kristi Noem, who also fancies herself running for president, released a national ad targeting trans student athletes and promoting a bill banning trans girls from girls' sports. Now, she once vetoed a similar bill when this issue was just heating up, but Republican contests around the country are now about, how much do you hate trans people? How much do you have fealty to Donald Trump? That's all it's about.
But let's pause for a second to ask why she would be running a national ad on any subject, let alone making this the primary subject.
She wants to be president, or maybe Donald Trump's vice president.
Well, certainly to establish a national profile, but this is the hook she's hanging her hat on, and it's an outrageous ad. It's unbelievable.
Look, on Fox News, they're so obsessed with anti-trans stuff that they've run 32 negative segments on the Ivy League trans swimmer, Leah Thomas, in just 6 weeks. And, of course, they never covered women's sports before.
Well, that's not even one a day. They're falling down on the job. In Texas, their ban on trans kids in team sports in schools, kindergarten through 12th grade, has now gone into effect. So that poor trans boy wrestler will, I guess, continue to be wrestling girls in Texas.
Well, in South Carolina, they were about to pass a bill allowing doctors to refuse non-life-saving services until LGBTQ advocates pointed out that could also allow doctors who strongly believe that people should get vaccinated against COVID to refuse to treat the unvaccinated. So they pulled back and they're working on, how they can still, harm us without harming anti-vax base.
Yeah, because heaven forbid anti-vaxxers should face any punishments. Well, there's a national report out about all these kinds of bills from last year. 268 anti-LGBTQ bills were proposed in state legislatures. 147 of them, over half, were anti-trans specifically. 26 of them passed in 10 states. So that's their batting average at the moment. I'm sure they will be upping it this year.
And in Virginia, on day one, Governor Glenn Youngkin is loosening public health mandates and banning critical race theory in schools, even though it's not taught anywhere. And of course, it ought to be. but what he's banning is divisive topics.
We did hear from a viewer about a story I related last week about a couple of teachers who were on suspension for talking about how to establish a gay-straight alliance at a teachers' conference because the right wing infiltrated and illegally filmed them doing this. And I reported or repeated what I had read about the right wing charging that these teachers had been laughing about it and sort of making fun of the idea of getting around the rules. And our viewer said he was there at the conference and they were not doing that. They were teaching about how to establish a GSA, but in perfectly normal and appropriate terms. And this really is all about the right wingers characterizing this, and the teachers are under suspension at the moment.
Okay. Some political news. Now, the city of Palm Springs has been redistricted into a more conservative U.S. House district and may be won by an anti-gay Republican, Ken Calvert, though it now may be more competitive between Democrats and Republicans. It reminds me, you know, I used to live in Greenwich Village. They paired us in a district with Staten Island, and we got this right-wing Democrat representing us in the House.
And we, in our continuing series of running campaign ads for out gay candidates, we now have received one from Tina Kotek in Oregon, who's running for governor. She's been a prominent politician there and now is what considered a front runner for the governor.
She's the Speaker of the House, and she's resigning on January 21st in order to just, you know, run her campaign. She's running to succeed out bisexual Governor Kate Brown, who is term limited. It's a big field, but here is Ms. Kotek's video.
My name is Tina Kotek, but I've been called a few things over the years.
Food bank and children's advocate.
State representative.
Budget whiz.
Yeah, she's a little bit of a policy geek.
I call her wife.
Ally. Madam Speaker.
First lesbian in the country to get that one.
Tina is determined.
Unstoppable. La jefa.
Tina Kotek? She's real tough.
And then there were some other words for tough that women get called. And those were the days that I really knew we were getting things done. And that's what's always mattered to me. Making a real difference to help people. So even when some said it was impossible, we made record investments in education and affordable housing.
Passed paid sick leave.
Expanded background checks for gun purchases.
Raised the minimum wage.
She got Oregon on the path to 100% clean energy.
And protected reproductive health care here,
no matter what happens at the Supreme Court.
We've made a start on a better future for all Oregonians, but it is not nearly enough. Especially as the pandemic and historic wildfires have changed our lives. From homelessness to climate change, it's one thing to talk about our problems. It's another thing to make the tough calls to actually get things done. And that's why I'm running for governor. Whether your hometown is big or small, if you love the coast, the mountains, or the high desert, we all deserve good schools, an affordable place to live, and clean air and water for our children and their children too. I'm so proud to call Oregon home. I love our state because here we don't just talk about a better future. We do the hard work to make it happen. Join us and we'll do the tough stuff together.
Be appealing.
I'm interested that the music is a kind of upbeat, bouncy music rather than the more schmaltzy standard kind of music. So energy. I like the energy.
We wonder what kind of music Jim Obergefell will use in his.
Well, I like his energy in deciding to run for the Ohio State House. He's, of course, the named plaintiff in the Obergefell decision at the Supreme Court that legalized same-sex marriage. He and his partner were denied marriage rights. His partner was dying of Lou Gehrig's disease. And so they, years ago, hopped on a plane and went to Maryland and got married on the tarmac and then sued for benefits. He sued for benefits when his partner, when his then husband died, and the state refused him. And so he went to the Supreme Court.
So
I got any of that right?
Yes. So he moved back home to Sandusky, Ohio, where he is from. The seat is currently held by Republican D.J. Swearingen, but there will be new districts this year. Swearingen won the current district 57-43, pardon me, in 2020.
Obergefell has been a teacher, a software consultant, and a realtor. And what I really love about this is that he is running locally.
Yes.
We do not begin to pay enough attention to state legislatures and other positions.
School boards.
Hmm?
School boards.
Well, we're getting to that. That's next.
Well,
but I really, really appreciate his running within the state of Ohio.
Before we leave the Ohio House where he's running, they have not yet passed the LGBTQ rights bill there in Ohio.
That's why we need him in the state house in Ohio. But my reference was to an even more local race for school board in Gahanna, Ohio, where trans man Dion Manley was elected the first out trans person elected to any position in the state of Ohio and sworn in this week as a member of the school board, and very appreciative of the fact that he has been received so positively in his community as a parent who wanted to get involved in the schools because his daughter had such a good experience in the schools, and he wants to step up and do his part.
Sure. Let's go to Brigham Young University. A year after...
Let's don't go to Brigham Young University.
A year after students lit up the school's iconic Y sign in rainbow colors to show support for LGBTQ rights.
On the mountainside above the school.
New rules will prevent similar protests from happening, including a ban on protests on the hillside of Y Mountain. Students were celebrating what they thought was the removal from the honor code of the ban on physical intimacy that gives expression to homosexual feelings. But a month later, the university said gay love was still banned. One gay BYU student said, "Professors openly harass minority students, and racism and threats of violence from right-wing members is very common on campus."
Yeah, so there are no demonstrations or protests or anything that oppose church policy or attack the leaders of the church.
Yes.
They are really shut down at BYU.
They're taking their cues from Putin.
Perhaps. All right. All right. Some sad news. In Tallahassee, Florida,
yes.
Jorge Diaz Johnston, 54 years old, in the orange shirt there in that picture, was found dead in a landfill. He was a plaintiff in the marriage case in Florida. That's him with his husband. And he was a paralegal. He was a doctoral candidate in religious studies and absolutely beloved in the state by activists and others. And this is a mystery now, a murder mystery, and we don't know what happened.
It's also getting a lot of attention because his brother, Manny Diaz, is a former mayor of Miami and the new chair of the Florida Democratic Party. Now, Jorge was last seen on January 3rd. There was a missing persons alert on January 8th, and he was found just shortly after that, right after that. It is a mystery. We don't, you know, that police are not saying anything at this point.
Well, what they've said is that the husband can't be ruled out as a suspect, which I think is fairly standard in these cases. But the husband also put out a very heartfelt statement about his loss. We don't have any details about who the murderer might be.
Right. In New York, the American LGBTQ Museum, which we've told you is happening at the New York Historical Society for a 2024 opening, has picked Ben Garcia, we have a picture of him there, as executive director. He's been the deputy executive director and chief learning officer of Ohio History Connection, which is a statewide history organization that manages more than 50 museums and historic sites, as well as the state archives and the state historic preservation office. He's also done stints in San Diego and Berkeley, California.
He says his goal is to create a multicultural, multilingual museum of history and culture in the American LGBTQ plus museum, which at the moment is housed as part of the New York Historical Society. The museum is not scheduled to open till 2024, and these things can be delayed, but it is affiliated with the Historical Society at the moment. Back to some news of violence. Following up on the story from last week in Denver about the trans man, Sire Klenke, who had been just randomly beaten on the street It turns out that after he was beaten, he got into an Uber to get out of there and try to go home. And as he related what had happened to the Uber driver and identified himself as trans, the Uber driver kicked him out of the car.
Has Uber kicked the driver out of the company?
The Uber has apologized and said this is, you know, against their policy, but I cannot remember whether or not they've actually dismissed the driver. Maybe they did. And in Dallas, Texas, a genderqueer lesbian with the help of Lambda Legal has filed an EEOC complaint against the Dallas Arboretum, which fired her for putting her pronouns in her email signature. Yes, that is the appropriate response. Flutter your eyelids. It's just shocking and leaves you speechless. So she has to go to court to sue them to get compensated for her firing for this. It's unbelievable.
Can't we all get along? I guess not. Can we talk about some of the people we lost this week?
Yes.
Well, most prominently, Andre Leon Talley, who was a top fashion editor at Vogue and Women's Wear Daily. And there he is in all his glory.
I love that picture.
A major force in fashion. He loved Paris and a rare black man in a white fashion world. He's died at 73. He started out in New York as a receptionist at Andy Warhol's Interview magazine. He became kind of a fixture at Studio 54. We have a picture there of him with Diana Ross back in 1979. But he rose to be the creative director at Vogue with Anna Wintour. He helped dress Michelle Obama as first lady. He was mentor to supermodel Naomi Campbell, an advisor to Oscar De La Renta, and he was a judge on America's Top Model. And you saw his stylish flair. He also pushed to include more people of color on runways, frequent chats with Wendy Williams, was an LGBTQ icon. His memoir was Chiffon Trenches, which only came out 2 years ago, and he was raised in the segregated South, and he didn't think he had any future as a black man in the world that he loved.
Well, he was sexually abused as a child. He was relentlessly bullied as an effeminate black boy in the segregated South. You know, he was there in the 50s and 60s, and had a very, very poor childhood, and to wind up as the creative director of Vogue, basically because that was his vision for himself, and he worked at it, and he created it, and manifested it, and he was a major force and a major mentor to people, certainly in the fashion industry and beyond.
Including to Anna Wintour, who was obviously, totally achieving editor. But he knew more about fashion than she did and taught her a lot.
Well, he had a falling out with her some years ago over she had taken away his spot as the MC on the red carpet at the Metropolitan Museum, annual gala. And
And he used to dress her for it.
He was not happy about that. And so they did have a falling out. So she wrote response to his death, where she talked about, in any long relationship, you'll have your ups and downs. But I loved him and totally appreciated him. And he was a major life force and on and on and on. And he'd been sick. And certainly he was obese, which could not have been helpful to his health. He'd had health problems for some years and now gone at 73.
Andre Leon Talley.
Yeah.
And someone I was not aware of, but what a story. Chris Dickerson, 82, a top bodybuilder. There he is in 1970. He was the first black man to win the Mr. America contest, and he was also gay and known as such in bodybuilding circles. He didn't really discuss it much at the height of his career. Few athletes did in those days. He later acknowledged that being black and gay was a barrier, He was known for his grace in posing, which was informed by ballet lessons he took as a young man. And then,
he came to New York from Ohio to study opera, acting, and ballet at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. And a voice teacher suggested that he lift weights to open up his tenor range. But he took to bodybuilding and moved into that as the field. Yes, he said that he lost some competitions, including to Arnold Schwarzenegger, because of racism and homophobia.
He said the guy who ran the Mr. Olympia contest was a low-life bigot. And he said Arnold didn't deserve anything more than sixth in that competition. But he would look, his mother was a civil rights activist. He was born in Alabama. His father was a banker. What a story. Later on, he posed for Mapplethorpe. He was a guest poser at the National Lesbian and Gay Bodybuilding Championship. Quite a life story. Inspiring.
Really? Yes. 82 years old. Chris Dickerson. And a couple of other things. So Carl Nassib made it into the NFL playoffs with the Las Vegas Raiders, but they lost in the first round. But he had a very successful, honorable first year with the Raiders. So the question is, will his contract be renewed or will he be traded elsewhere? But everyone expects him to remain in the NFL one way or another.
He's considered a team leader.
Okay.
All right.
Corey Johnson has a new job. The out gay leader of the New York City Council, term limited out, is now going to work for an Israeli company that is pushing electrification of the fleet of cars, et cetera, for New York City and New York State. And so Corey's going to be a consultant for them.
Okay. International news?
Yes.
Well, again, this old case from 1988 in Sydney, Australia, 27-year-old Scott Johnson. His naked body was found at the foot of a cliff, below where there was a gay cruising area up above, and the police immediately ruled it a suicide. We have a picture of Scott there somewhere. But a lot of people didn't believe this was a suicide, especially people who knew and loved him, including his brother. Show that old picture of his brother Steve, and there with Scott, and so his brother offered a substantial reward, and eventually somebody named Scott White was charged in 2020. So in court this week, the guy who was charged, White, repeatedly shouted that he's guilty. Oh, this is not,
is that the brother again?
That's the brother again and what he looks like now. But they don't show pictures of people accused of crimes over there. They hollow them out. Until they're convicted. But he is now, the guy has pleaded guilty over the objection of his lawyers. The sentencing is going to be on May 2nd.
Yeah, he got up in court in the middle of the trial, I guess, or some proceeding, and started yelling, "I did it, I did it, I'm guilty." And his lawyer is trying to grab him and say, "No, don't do that." And it's unclear, and the lawyer says the accused has a mental impairment. It's unclear to me whether the guy's confession is real or not, but he is the one who's been fingered. And of course, there were scores of gay men who were found at the bottom of that cliff.
Right.
The rest of them remain unsolved.
There were gangs of people that went around Sydney. They didn't only kill them there. I mean, they would lure them and then kill them. Mm-hmm. Scott's brother, Steve Johnson, said, "I would hope that any brother would do this for his brother." See the case through.
All right. In Hungary, they have set a date in April for a referendum on the no promo homo law. We aren't terribly optimistic about the vote on that, but we'll keep an eye on it. And in Poland, the parliament lower house has approved a bill for more government control of the education system, which means bad things for LGBT and women's issues and education.
It only passed 227 to 214, and it goes to the Senate. So much for local control.
Yeah, but if it fails in the Senate, it can go back to the lower house and pass and be approved.
Well, extracurricular activities in the schools would have to be approved by a government supervisor, so that they can warn children of the threat to morality.
Also, right. In Poland, a priest convicted of sex with a 12-year-old boy is defending himself against a civil suit by claiming, "Oh, the kid's gay, and this was consensual." The kid was 12.
Did we do the story about the three Polish women who distributed posters of the Virgin Mary with a rainbow halo? They were arrested in 2019 and acquitted.
We've been doing that for years.
They've been acquitted, but prosecutors appealed, and last week the court rejected the government's appeal. They had been charged with offending religious feeling.
Yes, they had.
Now, the Pope,
the
Pope hasn't come all the way around, and he continues to offend my feelings. But he wrote to Sister Janine Gramick, the co-founder of New Ways Ministry, praising her work for gay acceptance in the church. She said it was like getting a letter from a friend, but the friend didn't agree to alter church doctrine, condemning homosexual activity and being transgender. Sister Janine, we know her, has been at it, though, for 50 years, and the Pope said her ministry is in the style of God.
Okay. Well, in Honduras, the Supreme Court of Justice has rejected the attempt to legalize same-sex marriage. The plaintiffs will now go back to the Inter-American Court of Human Rights, which mandated 5 years ago that Central and South American countries legalize same-sex marriage. So we'll see what power they have to force Honduras to go ahead and legalize same-sex marriage.
In Mexico, the Football Federation announced that fans who chant the anti-gay slur puto will be banned from Mexican soccer stadiums for 5 years.
I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, you think it's, what do you think, it's free speech? I mean,
yes, that's one question. And the second question is, if you do that, do you just enrage the fans so much that they redouble their efforts to?
This is an effort that's been going on in sports around the world.
Yes.
To try to, because it's awful. You know, I mean, they've stopped games. They've forfeited games because the fans.
They've emptied stadiums.
Right. So how do I feel about it? I believe abusive speech should not be allowed.
I think it's a tough call. But I'm very proud of the students in Nairobi, Kenya, who turned out in the streets to demonstrate in favor of their own freedom, because a cabinet minister in Kenya has proposed that boarding schools, which are a common way to educate kids in Kenya, be allowed to ban LGBTQ students from attending their schools. And these students went out in the street and said, the hell with that. That's discrimination. You can't take our opportunities for schooling away from us. So we'll see. Schools are already rejecting the kids, even though the proposal has not gone into effect as a law yet. But just the threat of it is causing schools to begin to ban LGBTQ students.
I mean, going back to the speech thing, because you're making me think about it. I mean, if people started shouting the N-word, or an anti-LGBTQ slur, think about not just how it makes the players feel, but how it makes other people in the stands feel about that kind of stuff. I think it's fair in a private establishment like that, to say this is not kosher.
Private establishment, totally agree. And if the Football Federation is a private organization, not a government organization, then and in Mexico, I don't know if they have the same kind of rules about free speech not being controlled by the government. So I don't even know if that applies there. But yes, private organizations, yes.
India is making a lot more progress in the prisons than we are. The Ministry of Home Affairs there advised the prison department to facilitate the process of acquiring trans identity certificates, if requested, to make separate enclosures in the jails for trans inmates to protect them from exploitation, and ask the states to ensure that trans inmates be searched by a person who they choose in terms of gender or by a trained medical professional. Now, they also want to make sure that a separate unit does not isolate the trans inmates or induce stigma. All this under the Transgender Persons Protection of Rights Act of 2019. We do not have such a thing here.
No, we do not. And I'm not holding my breath for it. Well, we have some, you know, we have the Bostock decision.
Which, to remind people.
We have a lot of presidential decrees and rules, so we're not totally out of the ballpark. In Greece and France, they are lifting their bans on gay and bisexual men, any men who have sex with men, from donating blood. They have dropped all these phony rules about 3 months or 12 months of no sex before you can donate. Greece is doing it by ministerial decree. France is also doing it, but, you know, they're going to subject everyone to the same screening rules and standards.
It's also been dropped in, may surprise you, Italy, Hungary, Brazil, and Spain. They really need the blood.
Well, they need the blood here, too. They've recently put out a decree from the U.S. government that they're low on blood, and but they haven't gotten rid of what is now the three-month standard, I guess, of how long you have to go without having had intercourse before you can donate blood if you're a man having sex with men.
So are we into AIDS news?
Yes.
Well, California has become the first state to require insurance companies to cover the cost of at-home sexually transmitted infection tests. Another new law requires primary care providers to offer patients testing for hepatitis B and C. In 2021, by the way, cases of syphilis and gonorrhea went up over 2020. Congenital syphilis, mother to baby, rose 232% from 2015 to 19.
I have to say, I wasn't aware that you could do home testing for sexually transmitted infections. Wow. Now I know.
Now we know. But the fight against sexually transmitted infections never ends.
Never. In New Jersey, the state Senate has passed a law decriminalizing sex by those who are HIV positive. This is a sort of ongoing campaign across the country to get rid of these laws that criminalized people with HIV having sex. But they haven't really gotten rid of it. They deleted the words about HIV, but they can still prosecute anyone for knowingly exposing anyone else to a sexually transmitted infection, including HIV. So the criminalization of sex is continuing apace. And our old pal Martin Shkreli, the pharma bro, who is in prison, has now been ordered to reimburse $64 million in profits that he made by raising the price of the anti-HIV infections drug Daraprim from $13.50 a pill to $750 a pill when he acquired the rights to distribute it.
The price is still $750 a pill, but a generic has been authorized, and that's $183 a pill. So, look, I mean, you know, we all hate this guy. Everybody, I'm not for violence. Everybody, you know, look at him and they want to smack him. But he's just, I mean, the whole industry is just gouging people tremendously, and we don't do anything about it. Certainly Republicans don't, and a lot of Democrats fight it.
And that was part of the proposed Build Back Better bill to control prescription drug prices, but the Republicans and Sinema and Manchin won't go for that.
Right.
All right, entertainment news. Update, I talked last week about the Netflix series Cheer, which just dropped its second season, and one of its cheerleaders, Jerry Harris, who had been accused of sexual abuse. And I said that I thought it was like, close to the line. But it turns out he was 19 and having sex with 13-year-old twins. And he has admitted to having sex with a lot of younger boys. He's currently in jail in Chicago, awaiting trial. And the other thing in the series that was interesting as I watched the entire second year was that the rival school prides itself on their boys not smiling because, unlike the main school, they're not gay.
All right.
Here.
Are you up to date on And Just Like That, the Sex and the City?
Yes.
I've seen 7 episodes. Is there another one?
Tomorrow.
Okay. So a writer on the show, Samantha Irby, says she knows people hate the new show, but please stop sending her death threats.
It's really not worth death threats.
At least Cynthia Nixon is getting to go at it hot and heavy with Sarah Ramirez, is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, she did once, and I guess maybe a second time. Yes, we'll see where that goes. But if you really want to see a lot of sex, my newest favorite is Sex Education on Netflix. Really, really good. So my triumvirate of recommendations is now on Netflix, Dairy Girls, D-E-R-R-Y. Do not come back to this show next week until you have watched Dairy Girls, which is hilarious. Sex Education, very sweet and funny and very sexual. And Gillian Anderson as a sex therapist mother. And then on HBO Max, Sex Lives of College Girls. None of these shows is pornographic.
Sex.
None of them is pornographic. They're all basically teen rom-coms, but they're very charming and very funny.
All right. I may have to tune back into Law & Order SVU. Mariska Hargitay plays Captain Olivia Benson, is it?
I've never seen a Law & Order episode.
She has an 8-year-old son there, Noah, played by Ryan Bugle, who came out as bisexual after being subjected to bullying at school, the character did. Noah was explaining that his tormentor, Hudson, who he says is an idiot, was calling another kid who uses they-them pronouns a fairy. And here's a quote from Noah. "Then I said I was bi, and that there's no shame in being true to yourself." So Olivia says to him, "That's right. That's incredibly brave." And Noah says, "It's no big deal. It's not like I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend."
He's 8.
It's just not fair for anybody to be left out. The actor, Bugle, then posted about Glisten on his Instagram account.
I don't think he's 8.
The kids of today.
Yeah. And the basketball players of today, the Chicago Bulls held a pride night. They decided to do it up big. They had a big drag show. Even the bull is wearing a rainbow wig. So evidently it was a big hit in Chicago.
Well, I mean, they had a gay wedding at Center Court, presided over by a drag queen. They did the whole history of the movement in brief. I mean, come on.
In 7 minutes at halftime or something?
They did it. From Stonewall to Obergefell.
I guess we can cut down on the length of this show.
On the Jumbotron.
Yeah. In the Winter Olympics coming up in Beijing, China, in a matter of weeks. And we're hearing more and more about various out competitors. The newest one, Andrew Blazer, 32 years old. They're seeing him about to hop on his skeleton. This is a really death-defying event where you go, face down this ice track. He had a concussion from a crash a couple of years ago and almost didn't get back on his sled, but he has decided to compete again.
He wears nail polish for fun and shock value, along with a snakeskin print suit.
Very nice. I don't know that the USA suit is snakeskin, but he'll look sharp.
All right, so Saturday Night Live, out Ariana DeBose of West Side Story fame now, did a routine there where she was hosting with Kate McKinnon, lesbian, decrypting ancient lesbian love poems. The skit was called Sappho. It was all very arch and anachronistic, but it was very lesbianic, not terribly funny. It was mostly stereotypes. They opened up, though, with a duet from West Side Story, which I did like, the two of them, and it was also very lesbianic.
Yeah. I watch the show to keep track of what they're doing, but I haven't been amused by it for a very long time, unfortunately. But I am amused or entertained or awestruck by Amy Schneider, who continues her run on Jeopardy as we sit here on Wednesday afternoon. She has won 35 games in a row, $1.1 million. She's the, I guess, third most games in a row and closing in on second most games in a row. But Ken Jennings, who's won the most in a row, won 74. So Amy has a long way to go to catch up to him.
This week she got a message from the daughter of an 83-year-old man who's been trying to convince her father to use the right pronouns for transgender people. And he said that it was Amy that convinced him to do it.
And do you think Tim Miller, the out gay former Republican political consultant to George Bush, is now wearing a pearl necklace in honor of Amy? There is some debate over why Tim Miller keeps appearing on MSNBC wearing a pearl necklace.
Are they pearls? It just looks like something kind of hip people wear. I mean, you know.
Pearl necklace. But no, I don't know if no one's asked him or he.
Harry Hay used to do stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I ought to get my mother's pearls restrung so I could do it.
All right. D.L. Hughley, a comedian not averse to homophobic, quote unquote, jokes, is going to star in a semi-autobiographical sitcom on the Fox network about a straight talking comedian with a lesbian daughter, which he is. He's one of the creators of the show.
We're down to the last 45 seconds. Congratulations to Thomas Gilbert of Toronto, Canada, 22. Just came out as he's the best pro disc golfer. He says, I'm gay. He's number one in Canada. And congratulations to Isaiah and Taylor Green Jones competing on The Amazing Race. They are a married couple, and they became famous by doing a viral wedding dance. There they are looking very spiffy in those tux jackets. And this was their dance at their wedding. And there on The Amazing Race, we'll follow them. And we will see you next week on Gay USA.
Bye.